I was wondering if I was going to make it here today after blowing leaves all day in the yard yesterday. My back is in really good shape, but it's improving. As I got up this morning, I wasn't sure how it was going to do. It's good to see you all. You know, we often look at two verbs in the Bible that are found and we use in our conversation in English quite frequently, to look and to see. They seem to mean the same thing, and they are often used interchangeably, one with another, sometimes synonyms of one another. However, there is a subtle difference between the two of them, and I looked them up on Google's dictionary. I'm not sure what dictionary they have on Google that they're using, but I just call it Google's dictionary for short. But the definition for the word look has four definitions underneath of it. The first one is to direct one's gaze towards something or someone in a specific direction. And the second definition is to think of or to regard, to think of or to regard in a specific way. The third definition, to have the appearance or impression of being. You look tired, I guess is a way you could kind of describe that or say that. And the fourth definition was to rely on or provide something. I look to you for support, you know, something like that might be a way of using it. And the second word, see, on the other hand, has seven definitions with it, because it's used in a multitude of different ways in English. The first one is to perceive with the eyes, to discern visually. The second one is to discern or deduce mentally after reflection or from information. Basically, they said to understand. See, I see what you mean, or I understand what you mean is another way to put it. The third definition was experience or witness an event or a situation. And the fourth one was to meet someone that you know, socially or by chance. And the fifth one was to escort or conduct someone to a specific place. I'll see you to your room, or something like that. And the sixth one was ensure, or to see to it that something's happening. Seventh was used in poker to equate the bet of an opponent. So there are seven definitions that we use in English. And so you can see there's a lot of different ways that you can use the two words in English, but in the Koine Greek of the New Testament, it uses it as well, but not quite so many ways, thankfully. Although there are five different words for the two words that we use, look and see, in the New Testament. And I don't have time to go into all of those words, but there are five of them that are used in the New Testament. Too many to sort out. So, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 3. I want to look at a couple of examples of it first, how it's used. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 3. And said to him, "Are you the coming one?" Now this, of course, is John the Baptist, or the baptizer, who is in prison, and he has sent his disciples to Christ to ask him this question. And so he asks him, "Are you the one coming, or do we look for another? Do we look for another? Are we looking for another?" Now, it's interesting here because you can't interchange the word "see" with "look" in this particular sentence because it no longer makes any sense. That was one of the first things I noticed here. You just can't substitute the word here in this particular case. It wouldn't make any sense. So, though there are certain similarities between the two words, there are only certain ones that make sense where we can convey what we're intending to. When I was a little boy, and I would go out to play during the day. I'd get on my bicycle and I'd ride off to the nearest woods or play area or whatever where a lot of my friends would meet, and we would play there for the day. At the end of the day, I would come home expecting to arrive in time for supper, usually, and I would come in the door and my mother would say, "Just look at yourself." And I would look down and I would be covered with grass and mud and tree bark and you name it, all kinds of muck that I picked up along the way during the day. And, of course, stains and everything else to go with it. And I had not really seen myself, but I had somebody who was looking at me with a careful and critical eye to see what I had done. And you know, she was obviously aware of what I had failed to see in myself. And someone else could see me, certainly, and that was my mom. Now, my mother wasn't implying anything beyond a physical look. In other words, she looked at me to see what my physical appearance was like. It wasn't a spiritual inspection or an examination of myself or whatever that I was expected to do, but I was expected to clean up before dinner. But looking is not always seeing. And I frequently look at a crowded, sometimes I'm at home or sometimes somewhere else or whatever, I look in a crowded refrigerator and I'm looking for something and I can't find it and I can't see it. And I kind of throw up my hands and I start walking away from the refrigerator like I can't find it, it's not there or something. And my wife would ask me afterwards, "Did you really look?" You know, that's the question that frequently comes up whenever I can't find something, because I'm looking, but I'm not looking hard enough. And frequently it was there all along, and no matter how hard we look sometimes, we don't really see what we're looking to see. And it isn't sufficient. In Matthew 5, verse 16, there's another example that I want to look at real quickly. Matthew 5, verse 16. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, what is it that people were seeing here? What is it that they were looking at or that they were seeing? Christ was not talking about their physical works here in this particular section. We sometimes think that's the case. But he's really talking about our example. That's what he's trying to point out. And it's the example of our good works being done, although that's not sometimes what we see in the example here, but that's really what he's trying to point out. The impact on other people of our doing good works is what he's trying to point out. Not simply the works themselves, our impact on others as they see our behavior and our good works. And it's our faith translated into daily living that stands out to other people. That's the example that they see. Now notice what David says in the Psalms. He has an excellent example, I think, that speaks volumes here. In Psalm chapter 36. Psalm 36, it's a psalm of David. Let's see if I can find it here without losing my place. Psalm 36 and verse 9. In the New King James, it says, "For with you is the fountain of life." What's he talking about? What's the fountain of life? God's Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about. "In your light, we see light." In your light, we see light. In other words, we understand the truth because of your Spirit. And we can look at that in terms of a calling. We can look at it in terms of what God is doing with human beings, all of the aspects of the gospel, everything else, that our truth, that we don't begin to see until God's Holy Spirit begins to show us those things through his, in other words, through his Spirit as it begins to work with us. And this is what the calling that we receive does. It exposes our life and ourselves to the truth around us. And it exposes us to that. David, of course, with God's Holy Spirit, understood that. Mr. Victor Kubik, recently in one of his MMS letters, was the first one to say or to suggest in what he was talking about that we all examine ourselves, and we used the alone time that we had, thanks to the coronavirus and the COVID-19 situation in this country. He was talking about that alone time that we have due to the virus, that we use that time to examine ourselves, to begin to really see ourselves and to examine ourselves more closely with that extra time that we have alone by ourselves or away from other people. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, have we examined ourselves in that way? At the rate that the coronavirus is presently spreading in this country, if you've been watching the news, we may have more alone time yet ahead of us if we're not careful. That may come and it may not. I heard on the news yesterday, I was reading on the internet, that Mr. Biden's scientists are saying it's probably not a good thing to try to plan on a national closing, which I was kind of relieved to hear, that they were not planning on doing that, at least at the moment. But that was mentioned in the news. But this is precisely why I took these two words, to look and to see, and to talk about them briefly in this sermonette. We could look forward all the way to Passover and realize that Paul tells us to examine ourselves before the Passover and before we partake of the Passover in 1 Corinthians 11. He talks about that. And examining ourselves is something that needs to be done, but it doesn't necessarily need to be done right now for Passover, but it's a process that needs to be done all the time. It needs to be a continuing process in our lives, not something that just comes and goes with Passover each year. So I want to ask us the question, how are we doing? When was the last time you examined yourself? Are we regularly examining ourselves? And are we seeing, not just looking, at the physical things? In James, let me close with one scripture. James mentions it, so I will quote from him. Let's go to James chapter 1 and verses 23 and 24 and 25, I guess. He says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is a man, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror," looking in the mirror. "For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Indeed, have you had a good look in the mirror, so to speak, lately? Seen yourself? I mean, really, seeing yourself, not just looked at yourself like my mom looked at me when I was a boy. Really looked at yourself spiritually. Let's not just take a look, cursory look at ourselves in the mirror before we go out the door to church each week, but really take a look at ourselves deep inside. Our thoughts, our actions, our words. What example do we set that others see in us? And what does God see about us? Right on time. My watch quit on me, so I have to rely on